As a CEO or entrepreneurial leader, you want to focus on overall vision, alignment, and running a great business. You want your business to run efficiently, with less effort and little pain. Welcome to Operationally Speaking with Sergio Samel. Sergio and his very special guests will give you the tools to run your business well and gain the momentum to break through to the next level. Now, here is your host, Sergio Samel.
Welcome, 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 welcome to episode number 29 of Operationally Speaking, where we exclusively focus on the art and science of operating entrepreneurial businesses. I am Sergio Samel, your host, and I am the principal EOS implementer as well as Colby and Predictive Index specialist at Get Business Momentum, where we help owners and CEOs of small to mid-sized entrepreneurial companies like yours get what you want out of your business by implementing a simple, well-proven, and complete system for operating your company. This episode is the first in a small mini-series aimed at removing some of the myths and misconceptions about the Entrepreneurial Operating System, or EOS. To do that, for each episode of this mini-series, I have invited a different practitioner of the art and science of implementing the system for entrepreneurial small to mid-sized businesses. Together, we will distinguish the why, the what, and the how of a particular aspect of the system through examples, stories, successes, maybe even failures, and a bit of explanation as well. For today's episode, I invited my friend and colleague Bill Wagner. For over 20 years, Bill has been at the forefront of leadership and entrepreneurial practice as a business owner, a consultant, speaker, and author. His career began in corporate sales and leadership with companies such as PepsiCo and Xerox, which ultimately led to the startup of his Accord Management Systems practice. In business almost 20 years now, Accord Management Systems is a behavioral management consultancy that helps clients get the people side of their business right. Also, Bill speaks annually to thousands of entrepreneurs, CEOs, executives, and managers. Widely published and critically acclaimed, Bill is the author of The Entrepreneur Next Door and the soon-to-be-published business book, Mastering the Gap. Above all, his passion is helping executives address the gap that exists between the dream and the execution. And to those of you who have been following Operationally Speaking for a while, you may recognize Bill's name. Yes, he was my guest on one of the earliest episodes titled Mastering the Gap, which we first aired back in June of 2017. Welcome back to Operationally Speaking, Bill.
Sergio, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
And I'm so pleased to have you back. So, some of our listeners may be familiar with EOS, and most of them are probably not. So let me take just a couple of minutes and set up a context for our conversation, Bill. So EOS, the brainchild of Gino Wickman and outlined in his best-selling book, Traction, is a complete, well-proven and coherent suite of tools and processes that enable owners, CEOs, and leaders get what they want out of their businesses by achieving three major outcomes, which we call vision, traction, and health. By vision, I mean getting the leaders of the business 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and specifically how it's going to get there. By traction, I mean getting these leaders the disciplines and the accountability mechanisms so that they become masters of execution towards that shared vision. And by health, I mean getting the leaders to function as a cohesive, healthy leadership team, not just a team of leaders. At its core, EOS is all about strengthening exactly six key components of the business. Together, these six key components form what we refer to as the EOS model. Really quickly, the first key component is vision, and we strengthen it by getting everyone in the organization 100% on the same page with exactly where we are going and how we're going to get there, like full alignment, that is. The second key component is people. We strengthen it by having great people, top to bottom, each organization has a specific definition of what great people means and a specific structure to get it into the next stage. The third key component is data. We strengthen it by boiling the business down to good, hard data and running the organization through numbers that give us a pulse at every given time. The fourth key component is issues. We strengthen it by building the muscle of solving problems and tackling opportunities as a team by setting them up and then resolving them once and for all. The fifth key component is process. We strengthen it by plugging the business model, identifying a handful of core processes that make up the way we do business, and getting everybody to do that way for consistency and scalability. And last but not least, as we will discover this hour, the sixth key component is traction. We strengthen it by bringing the disciplines and the accountability of execution throughout the organization. Now, in this episode, as I kind of alluded a second ago, Bill and I will be focusing on the traction component. So let's get to it, Bill, shall we?
Sounds great, Sergio.
All right, so let's maybe define a little traction a little bit better. What did I miss in my very, very brief definition, though?
Well, I don't think that your definition lacked anything whatsoever. Traction is our ability to execute. I think it was originally Henry Ford that said to have vision without the ability to execute, or traction, is merely a hallucination. And so ours is to create that reality to make sure that we can actually execute on that vision.
So, you know, we were talking about two pieces here in the definition that actually comes out of the book Traction, the discipline and the accountability. So, you know, in my mind, some people have this kind of reaction, especially entrepreneurs, have this reaction towards the word discipline because they think it's sort of like constraining creativity and entrepreneurship. Have you actually encountered that kind of attitude, Bill?
I really haven't. I think that for entrepreneurs, that discipline really falls in line with who they are and how they operate. Most entrepreneurs are relatively innovative, somewhat creative, but typically more innovative. They also have a tendency to micromanage because they know what they want. They want it done one way, the absolute perfectly right way, their way. And I believe that what Traction does is it provides them the vehicle by which to control without it seeming as if they're really the ones controlling.
So, and how do they respond, however, say, emotionally to this notion of accountability?
I think that entrepreneurs, typically CEOs, whether you be an entrepreneur or a founder or second generation or a hired gun, everything is about controlling the organization and doing so well. And what Traction does is it creates that model of accountability. You know, so these are individuals, they are more than welcomed and more than glad to want accountability. Sometimes they may have difficulty holding themselves accountable. And what this does is it creates a greater structure to really align their interests with the interests of the company.
The only, you know, in my experience, the only pushback that I've actually encountered to this notion of traction is sort of what we in the high tech industry used to call not invented here. So, in other words, you know, if you have a certain discipline in which you've been, practicing, let's say, running meetings, we were talking about meetings a little later in the hour. You know, I've had actually one CEO, business owner, tell me during the first session that I had with them, reacting to, oh my God, you're going to tell me how am I going to be running my executive team meetings? Well, I've been basically running meetings for years, so I know how to do that. You don't have to tell me that. Have you ever encountered something like that?
Well, I guess what I would say is I've been dieting for years. I just have never gotten good at it. I think the things that I love about, you know, the Traction model, or the thing that I love about business process in general, is what we're typically doing is we're finding ways to solve problems that everybody knows exists, And this gives us one common language, one common viewpoint, and one common solution that if we all embrace it together, if we all read off the same script, that we're going to get accomplished at a much faster level.
So why do we need to focus on traction or execution? I mean, you know, there are lots of systems out there that, you know, produce, for example, beautiful strategic plans. And, you know, people sometimes spend, you know, thousands upon thousands of dollars, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars, hiring consulting firms to create a strategic plan for their company. That's kind of where it ends. So why do you think we need, as part of an operating system, to actually focus on traction explicitly?
Well, I believe that what we're doing is we're taking, you know, the typical 160 plus issues that every business has. And what we've done is we've chunked them down into six major areas that we desire to be have strength in. And one of those is really the traction element, which is getting stuff done. You know, so I think that what we're looking at here more than anything else is what can we do to ensure that we can get the most done with the least amount of energy or effort. And, you know, and of course, if you have the right people in the right seats, you're going to get that accomplished. If you have an idea as to where you want to go, you're going to get it accomplished. And if you're looking at the numbers and properly, you're going to be able to get it accomplished. But if you don't have that level of accountability, if you don't have that ability to execute, if you don't have the traction, then it's going to be a lot of difficulty.
Of course, that is exactly what was, in a sense, kind of the genius of EOS, or, you know, it emanating initially from Gino Wickman's mind and experience on putting this together and actually emphasizing this piece. I mean, in fact, after all, he titled his book Traction, not Vision or People or any other of the six components. Not to say necessarily that these other components are not as important. After all, you know, all six components are equally important and we have to strengthen them all. But at the end of the day, if you don't have traction, everything else, like you very aptly put it, Bill, it's all a hallucination, because you know, we can set up all kinds of systems and get all kinds of people, great people in, and, you know, have a great vision and go through, you know, documenting all kinds of processes. But at the end of the day, if we are not actually producing stuff on a regular basis, we end up with, guess what? No business, right?
Well, it's just not we lack the business, but this is true throughout our entire life. You know, it doesn't matter if you're going on a hike, you have to know where each step is going to be placed in order to accomplish the strategy, which is getting to the top of the mountain. It's no different than going on a vacation and knowing what are the various elements that need to be executed at which point in time to ensure that we have a great vacation. We do this anyway. We just never give it much thought. So what we're doing is we're just giving it more thought. We're giving it the thought that it really deserves.
You're absolutely right. So we're going to take a quick break right now. And when we come back, we're going to kind of really dive in into what is it exactly that we are talking about when we speak about traction within organizations or within companies that operate on EOS. So don't go away. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain, so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serju Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
Tune in to The Soul of Enterprise, Business in the Knowledge Economy, with co-hosts Ron Baker and Ed Kless. Ron and Ed will show you how to recognize that wealth is created by intellectual capital. It's all in the possibilities that we can create and that are created for us. These possibilities are destined to be discovered by human imagination and through the service of others, creating a brighter future for all of us. The Soul of Enterprise is heard live every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel, and simulcast at the same time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective, plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at vapresspass.com. That's vapresspass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Semel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Semel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Bill Wagner, founder of Accord Management System and implementer of the Entrepreneurial Operating System. So, Bill, let's dive into what it really is traction in the context of EOS as applied to an entrepreneurial operating company. So we know that each key component of EOS has kind of two disciplines. And the first discipline that's actually part of traction is the discipline of setting up rocks. So maybe you can help me kind of set up the scene here. So what is it that we really mean by setting up rocks, and what's the science there?
Well, the conversation originally, from what I understand, took place with Stephen Covey of the Covey Institute years and years ago. And I've since seen it done a number of times by various professors. And imagine, if you would, you take a 5-gallon glass receptacle and we're going to fill it with 4 different inert materials. We're going to fill it with large rocks, gravel, sand, and water. In order to have the greatest density, which of those 4 materials do you want to start with? And of course, not that everybody understands it, but you want to get the rocks in first. So if we put in the big things and get those taken care of, and then from that we add the gravel and shake it down, we add the sand and shake it, we add the water, you're going to get the greatest density. So if you don't start with the big things every single quarter, then you're not going to get the things accomplished. It has been said and believed that most human beings, we have like a 90-day head. Mm-hmm. Our heads, our ability to think and process is usually no more than about 90 days out. And if you look at something as broad and as big and as strategic as Social Security, mm-hmm. it has been said that over 90% of all Americans at the age of 65, which should be about their retirement age, that they have less than $10,000 in cash sitting in their bank accounts. You know, so somebody has failed to plan somewhere. Our job is to make sure there's no fail in planning.
Exactly. So, what makes a good rock in the sense of a goal, a 90-day goal for, let's say, a small, mid-sized entrepreneurial business?
You know, it could be anything as simple as the build-out of a new inventory program. It's usually something of a major occurrence, something that is not mm-hmm. typical found in your day-to-day operations. It could be part of a strategic initiative. It requires usually some additional timing, some additional thought or throughput, or some additional help by other individuals in the organization. And like for me, one of my rocks this last quarter was to finish a book proposal. And so in a book proposal, I have about 30 hours of work that goes into that. It's not a weekly to-do. It's not an annual goal, but it is something that I wanted to accomplish that quarter.
That's a perfect example. You know, essentially, the question that I ask the leadership teams that I work with, and which is, I'm sure, similar to what you do, Bill, is a very simple question. What are the 3 to 7 most important goals or priorities that company XYZ, your company, must get done not by 90 days from now on? Okay? So, yeah, go ahead.
So I was going to say, Sergio, one of the things that I do with that, and part of the precepts and the concepts that go behind EOS, is imagine if you have a large funnel. Right. And at the top of that funnel is that 10-year, you know, that 10-year target. Where do you want your company to be in 10 years? Now, if I'm planning out 10 years, it may not have a lot of specificity. But then underneath that, as I come down that funnel, I go from my 10-year target to my 3-year picture to my 1-year plan. Now, in my 1-year plan, there will be both items in there that are both strategic as well as tactical. And that my goal is that every 90 days, I'm going to be taking a bite out of that 1-year plan. Every 90 days, I might be taking a nibble on that 3-year picture. Mm-hmm. So if I do what I need to do every 90 days, those 3 to 5 major initiatives, what will I accomplish over the term of that next year, which is to make sure that I'm in sync for my 1-year plan? And quite frankly, if you talk to companies that don't do this, and you meet with them and you say, what were your strategic initiatives for last year? And they say, well, we wanted to do, you know, 10 things. And of course, if everything is important, then as we look at it, then nothing is important. My second question is, who owned each one of those initiatives? And rarely is there specific accountability. So our way of looking at it is, let's make sure that we have that our 90-day rocks, our 90-day goals are smart. They have to be specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely, that we can actually get them across the finish line within 90 days. They typically are only owned by one person, because if more than one person owns it, then really nobody owns it. Exactly. And the other thing that I like to look at, and this is that really big picture stuff, imagine that you have a leadership team of 6 members, and every quarter, each one of them has 5 rocks. So if you take 6 times 5, you have 30. And to get 100% of them done is probably somewhat utopian. But let's say that we hit that 80% number. You know, so you're getting 24 major initiatives complete every single quarter. So every year you are getting 24 times 4, you're getting 96 major initiatives completed every single year. That's why you get your 1-year goals met. You know, that's why you're hitting your 1-year plan, and you have to take a bite out of it every single week, every single month, every single quarter.
Absolutely. And you mentioned SMART. Of course, our focus is actually on the first 3 components of that. And I like to formulate stuff in questions. So when we set up those rocks, I asked my teams the question, so will you know when this rock is done? And if you do, that will make it specific. Will you know that you are getting closer to getting done? And if you do at all times, then that makes it measurable. And will you be able to achieve or accomplish that rock under any predictable circumstances? And if the answer is yes, then of course that rock is achievable. So what I've seen in experience, Bill, and I don't know whether you've seen the same things, is that one of the hardest things people encounter in setting up rocks, there are actually two of them. One is something that you already touched on, which is this tendency to want to do everything. So we have this saying in the US world that the closer you get to three rocks, the higher the likelihood is that you'll be able to actually accomplish it. So that's why we say, well, it can be somewhere between 3 to 7, but really, I really sometimes have to fight leadership teams to get it closer to 3, because they tend to go not only closer to 7, but sometimes even beyond 7. And the other thing is that when we formulate the rock itself, they somehow try to get it a little more flexible, because there's this fear that if I make it too specific, too clear, then essentially I have no wiggle room. And this may be actually something that is not coming out of bad intentions, but maybe there is something in some people's minds, undercurrent of their fear that, well, I need to look good, therefore I need to set up something that I can declare as done at the end of the quarter. What other kinds of aspects of or difficulties in setting up good rocks have you encountered in your experience with clients?
Well, I think there's several things I look at in that, Sergio. Number one is every quarter you do this, you're going to get better at predicting what you can accomplish in the next 90 days. Number two, I believe that we should use a Gantt chart or a project management software. And there's a couple of EOS purveyors that have different types of software out there. So you can really track it. So when I say I'm on track, what does that mean? Am I really, going to hit my goals? The third thing is, I think what you have to understand is, does the person have the capacity? Mm-hmm. So if an individual is already putting in 55 or 60 hours a week, they may not have the capacity to do more than one rock every quarter. I was talking to a client the other day that's actually in the trucking industry, and we were talking about rocks, and he says, well, I really don't see any reason for my truck drivers to have rocks. And I asked him, I said, would you rather have a truck driver that has a 90-day goal to do something better, to get better, to take a class, to pass a certification, or do you rather have a truck driver that doesn't? And that simple question provided him the clarity. So this is something that everyone in the company can stand to have from the top to the bottom. It becomes more critical perhaps at the top, because then we're getting more of our strategies implemented. But the major key of it is making sure that if I have the right people in the right seats that have the capacity, then they can take on greater responsibilities in order to accomplish.
So what do rock setting, or once people have set up rocks, how do those rocks impact the way members of the leadership team and their reports end up spending their time in the best possible way?
Well, hopefully their rocks are in alignment with what their most unique ability is. So they're doing things that they love to do that they're great at. They're doing things that they like to do that they're good at. And it allows them to focus on those types of elements. Now, just because I have a rock does not mean that I'm going to do 100% of the work. If I have a good team that reports to me, I will very well delegate various aspects of my rock to various members of my team, mm-hmm. in order to ensure the completion. So just because I own a rock does not mean that I'm doing 100% of it myself. It's like anything else in business. We either are delegating or elevating it to other people that may also be the thing they do best at.
Well, and we only have just a few seconds before the next break, but you mentioned in passing earlier the fact that we are actually holding each other accountable by declaring whether the rock is on track or off track. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But along those lines, I know that you enjoy asking this question: what are the three most productive days of the year? So tell us, what's the answer?
Well, there are three of them in my mind. One is the day before vacation, because on that day you get everything done. The second one is just prior to any kind of major holiday, whether it be Mother's Day or whether it be, the Christmas holidays or Hanukkah, where you're getting your list done. And the third is the day before what we refer to as our level 10 meeting, because that is the day that we have our 90 minutes that we spend going over our accountability as to who got what done, and if it's not done, is it an issue?
And
so that's the accountability part.
And that's a perfect time to take a quick break. And when we got back, we will be talking about meetings. So don't go away.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain, so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serju Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
How is your work-life balance? In most businesses, no matter where you are positioned, there is always room for improvement. If you're an executive, learn insight about your business. Are you an employee? Learn how to better work with your team. Even if you're not in business, you can learn where your strengths and weaknesses can be played to their best potential. The Work-Life Balance with host Rick Morris can be heard live every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Serju Samel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Serju Samel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Bill Wagner, founder of Accord Management System and implementer of the Entrepreneurial Operating System. So, Bill, before the break, we just were at the brink of talking about meetings. Now, we have special meetings in the OS system, and we call them pulsing meetings. Why pulsing?
Well, the nice thing about EOS is there is a fairly high level of structure. And when you know what you're going to do, then you know when you're going to do it, and you have these expectations. I have a two-day annual meeting coming up next month with one of my clients, and they are so excited about this because it's only something that happens once a year. So in terms of EOS, typically we do three quarterly meetings, and we do a two-day annual meeting with each of our clients. And in most of these meetings, we get a lot of the same stuff accomplished, but we're always taking time to process issues. We're always taking time to go deeper in the EOS toolbox. So we are always looking to learn more. But when it comes to that, we bring that all the way down to where we have a weekly pulsing, we have a quarterly pulsing, we have an annual pulsing. And each one of these provides some different and separate insights into a business so that we can all be operating at the highest possible level.
And this plays very well with this general metaphor of traction. Of course, if some of our listeners have actually seen the book Traction, they may recall then on the cover there is actually a tire, as in a truck or a car tire. So the metaphor here is that we are talking about something that rotates and actually gains traction, gains movement forward. And so there is this kind of cyclical metaphor where we go, as you just mentioned, there are like three levels of cycle. There's a weekly, a quarterly, and an annual cycle. And like you, I am in the middle of what we call as implementation. As the annual busiest time of the year. Not all annual sessions happen in December or January, but right now we happen to be recording this in the month of December, and a lot of my clients have their annuals, which are two-day sessions, and these are full 2 days. And we do actually, like I said, gain a lot of that traction doing those sessions because we really dive deeply into the strategies that will get this company forward over the next year. And in the quarterly's case, in the next 90 days. Now, these meetings, these pulsing sessions, the quarterlies and the annuals, happen usually with a facilitator, like an implementer. And there is a kind of an advantage of actually having somebody from the outside. What do your clients tell you that would be the best advantage or the best value that they get out of having somebody from the outside like you facilitating their annual or quarterly sessions, Bill?
I could be as specific as saying it's always nice having two parents as opposed to one or as opposed mm-hmm. to anything else. It's interesting. I'm working with three companies this year that are new companies to me, mm-hmm. and they've all been doing traction, doing it themselves. They've been self-implementing. And in each case, I've asked them, I said, why? And they said, we believe that if we have someone else help us implement and hold us accountable and facilitate the meetings, they know they will be able to perform and participate at a far greater level. And I have a number of other clients that are, typically a client's with us for about 2 years. They graduate, they've gotten to the point where they should be able to do this on their own. And I have clients that have chosen not to graduate. And my question is, why? You guys are doing all this yourself. You're at like 90% on everything you need to do. And they said, Bill, when you do our meetings, it allows us to participate if either the visionary or the integrator is the one conducting the meeting or facilitating the meeting, then they can't participate at a high enough level. So that being said, the benefit of having an implementer is it allows you, one, to maintain a higher level of purity, to make sure that everyone's being held accountable. But most importantly, I think it allows everyone to participate. And when a CEO is being... or when the visionary or the integrator or the CEO is being held accountable where people are asking questions, it just opens up an entire new level of dialogue.
And it's interesting that you said that you have a lot of new clients that have been doing traction or have been doing EOS before on their own. In fact, my latest client, the one I started just a couple of months ago with, is exactly in the same position. And after a couple of sessions, the integrator told me, one of the owners happens to be, it's a company that's owned by actually two brothers, and one of the owners is the integrator, and he told me, he said, it finally dawned on me why everybody was telling me to go out and get myself an implementer here, because it's not like I was doing those things blatantly wrong, but I was so biased by all my history of having owned this company for 12 years, having done certain things in a certain way, that I was reluctant to go into places that you brought us into just in a couple of sessions and ask these questions, which are now, in retrospect, they are obvious questions, but not in a thousand years would I have actually asked myself those questions because of this inherent bias that I have as an owner or an insider into the company. So let's move. Actually, yeah, go ahead, Bill.
I was going to say, sometimes it's difficult going towards the danger.
Exactly.
And if I'm the CEO, I may not want to bring up certain things that, you know, just because of my own predispositions, my own predilections, my own wanting to protect myself or my family. And but when you do this stuff purely, it allows us to ask questions. And my belief is the quality of the question determines the quality of the response.
Absolutely.
And when you've been doing this stuff, Sergio, as long as you know you and I have, you look at a person when they give you an answer, and sometimes you just know they're not giving you the entire answer. They're giving you the answer they hope you want to hear, so you can go on to the next person.
Exactly. So let's move off the quarterly or annual pulsings and to the weekly pulsings. So these are meetings that the leadership team to begin with, and then every other team within the organization, as EOS gets rolled out throughout the organization, does on a weekly basis. So that's called the weekly policy meeting, or otherwise known as the level 10 meeting. We'll get to that in a second. So we know that these meetings follow a certain set of very strict rules. There are actually five rules for on the top. Those meetings get scheduled on the same day of the week, at the same time. They always start on time. They always end on time or earlier, but never later. And they always follow exactly the same structure, the same agenda. And that agenda is known as the level 10 meeting agenda. So we know that this agenda has actually essentially two important parts, and they're unequal. There's the kind of dominant part, which is the issue-solving part, and usually takes about like two-thirds of the time. And then there's the accountability part, which is a very mechanically oriented part where a lot of accountability gets unraveled, if you wish. So here's a question for you. Obviously, we don't have all the time in the world in this show to explain all the nuances and the details of the agenda, but I was wondering, in your experience, Bill, what is the hardest thing for leadership teams, the teams that you and I work with directly, to learn in the process of mastering the art and the science of running very, very high quality level 10 meetings?
I would say the number one issue they have is, how do I let go of bad habits? Mm. And when they begin to institute new and better and good habits, they look at each other and they go, why did we not do this sooner? And
Can you give us an example of a bad habit?
Yeah, a bad habit is people going off on tangents. A bad habit is people politicking. A bad habit is one person bullying another person because they disagree with their position. A bad habit is somebody strolling in late to a meeting by 15 minutes. And then a bad habit is somebody checking their phone in the middle of the meeting. I mean, those are all bad habits that are tremendously destructive to getting stuff accomplished. And, you know, your level 10 meeting, and, you know, when I first became exposed to EOS, I was a Vistage member at the time, which is a CEO peer-to-peer group. And a guy in our group began implementing EOS, and that's how I heard about it. He gave me a copy of the book. I just sold a previous business, and it just made sense. And when you have the structure, and that's what EOS is all about. It's all about structure. So when we have meetings that are now structured, you know, what typically may be a score of a 4 out of 10 or a 5 or a 6 out of 10, all of a sudden all of your meetings are an 8, a 9, or a 10. And it's just because people get so much more accomplished in far less time.
Speaking of, you mentioned, you know, the grading part. So one of the things that I found to be literally a piece of stroke of genius about how Gino designed actually this level 10 structure is that at the end of every single meeting, including actually the quarterly and annual sessions, but especially on the weekly meetings, the entire team goes around the table and grades on a scale from 1 to 10 how well they did on the doing the meeting. And this grade becomes a self-correcting mechanism, because the rules are that if the grade gets 8 or below, the average rate that is, they are actually required next time to put an issue on the issues list and solve it as to what is happening and how they can actually fix the quality of the meeting. So in other words, the entire team is ultimately responsible of how well these meetings actually get performed. And that actually, I think, is not only a great way of achieving great meetings, but also a way to actually build accountability and build a team spirit in any team, starting with the leadership team, because at the end of the day, it's not somebody's responsibility to make the meeting good. It's everybody's responsibility. So we're going to take a break right now for a couple of minutes. And when we come back, we will talk a little bit more about Level 10 meetings, as well as perhaps the process of implementing this traction component or strengthening it for a company over time. So don't go away. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain, so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serju Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
Higher education faces lots of changes. If you are a student, educator, or in the workforce, you'll want to tune into Big Beacon Radio, Transforming Higher Education. Your host, Dave Goldberg, and his guests will explore the innovations that higher education adopts as it reinvents itself. The world of higher education is constantly changing. Stay on top and stay ahead of the rest. Big Beacon Radio, Transforming Higher Education. Listen Mondays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
The Voice America Live Events Channel is here now to showcase your corporate, individual, or organization's live event. Visit voiceamerica.com/live events to see all of our past live events and find out more. Whether it's a multi-day conference, special speaker, or single-day event, we've got everything to make your event a success. We can do a few hours or a few days. For more information about taking your event to the next level, call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417 or email info@voiceamerica.com. Again, that's Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417 or send us an email to info@voiceamerica.com. Voice America is where you are and where you want to be. Join us around the globe as we broadcast live from some of the most interesting events available. Don't forget to view all our live events, including on-demand access to past events that you may have missed, by visiting voiceamerica.com/live events.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Serju Samel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Serju Samel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Bill Wagner, founder of Accord Management System and implementer of the Entrepreneurial Operating System. Right before the break, Bill, we were talking about the Level 10 meetings. So One of the things that I noticed, for example, aside from the structure of the meeting itself, is that it actually reveals a lot about, let's say, how well the company is actually doing to getting things done. So, for example, as we know, one of the items on the agenda is everybody who had a to-do or an action item, in the U.S. parlance, it's called a to-do, which is a short-term, you know, 1 or 2 week out action item that somebody is accountable to get it done. We go through all the to-dos that were due by the date of that particular meeting, and everybody declares whether they their respective to-do is done or not done, right? So one of the things that I noticed with several of my clients, and I have a couple of them in particular, is that over time, you know, the ratio of to-dos that were declared as done and the ones that were declared as not done started actually dropping. So in other words, people were signing up to getting things done that essentially they were not getting done. And that actually is a huge problem, and it's actually, in my mind, a huge red flag and a kind of a symptom of something not going too well. So one of the things that I asked them to do is to add a measurable on their scorecard so that they can measure what percentage of their to-dos get done. And as we know, whatever gets measured can be improved. And over time, they were starting to pay attention to that, and therefore, that ratio started going back up. And I told them that essentially their goal should always be to get over 90% of their to-dos done. Now, 100% is not realistic, but 90% is actually very highly realistic. So what other kinds of things have you also concluded from just watching and, you know, auditing, for example, some of the 90-minute meetings of your clients, Bill?
I think there are a couple things that I find to be of interest. One, no matter how long a company has been doing it, I find that they have a tendency to go off on tangents. Mm-hmm. There is always one person on the team that talks more than anybody else, and I think that, you know, the integrator needs to be able to control that. Now, if they talk to him a little bit before the meeting and just say, by the way, I just want to keep this matter of fact, strictly business, straight to the point, then I think they're much more successful at it. I think it's important to realize that sometimes the to-do is not always 1 week. Sometimes it could be 2 weeks. Occasionally, it could be three, but if it's ever more than that, then it probably should have been a rock for the quarter. I think it's also important to mention that when you, at the beginning of the quarter, when you select your rocks for the quarter, when you're done with them, you don't keep adding to it. You're just kind of like done for them. I think that periodically the integrator needs to be meeting with each member of the team and just see where they're at on the rocks to make sure that if there are some additional issues that they can bring it forward. You know, as part of the process, we spend 2/3 of every meeting just with issue processing. You know, so that's where we're, you know, doing our troubleshooting and our problem solving. And the purpose behind this is to, you know, look at our issues as a field of dandelions, and you can either mow them down, which means they're going to come back next week or the week after, or you can eradicate them where they never come back. And our job is to take them out so they don't come back. Just solve it once and get on with life.
So what have you been, maybe the methods, you mentioned people going off on tangents, and I have to tell you, this is literally one of the biggest issues that I've noticed with almost every single client. And you are so right in your observation, Bill, that there is always somebody in the team that's kind of the instigator of most of the tangents. I have a team, for example, it's a fairly large team because it's actually a fairly large company. It's kind of towards the upper part of our target market range for US, a company that's over about 500 or so people. It happens to be actually the visionary that always goes onto all kinds of tangents. And it's the owner of the business, so nobody stops them. So what have been your methods to actually try to curve that down?
I use a six-word question that I empower each person on the team to use with whatever regularity they choose. And the question is, are you open for a suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
So if you just say to somebody, you know, gee, Sergio, are you open for a suggestion? You know, your response is either going to be yes or no. And typically we want to say yes because we don't want to be perceived as being a butthead. Right. And the more often we can say, yes, I'm open for a suggestion, the better served we will be. And so when a person says yes, just say, you know, I would like to keep us on track here. And I think one of the other things that we have to do as integrators or implementers is we have to promote our people or our clients to bring forward new issues. Right. Because after running on EOS for 6 months to a year, you think you're getting to the point where you have very few issues. And of course, you know, issues can be solved at the team level or the individual level, but we want to make sure that we're staying sharp, that we're always working towards the, you know, for the greater good of the company and solving some of the bigger stuff.
In fact, I had a client, I mean, I still have that client, and about a year or so ago, their issues list was kind of getting small, as you noticed. And during one of the quarterly sessions, I put an issue on the issues list, and guess what the issue was?
Them.
Where are the issues? Too
right.
few issues. And that was a problem because, to me, that was actually a symptom of a deeper problem, which was a deeper problem that had to do with trust, that may have something to do with people being willing to be open and honest about certain kinds of fundamental things. And once we broke through that barrier, oh boy, that issues list never got that short, all right? So, yeah, go ahead.
I think part of it, Sergio, is, you know, creating that requirement, the same as you want them to have a certain number of rocks, the same as you want to have a certain completion of rocks, you know, this the same way as we have our five rules for a meeting, it's saying that, you know, that once a quarter, each one of you needs to bring a minimum of two or three issues to every meeting. And just make sure that people are continuing the process.
Mm-hmm. Well, so we are coming to a close with our show today, Bill. And you operate out of Southern California, right?
I do.
So, if people want to reach out to you, I created a special email address and reach out to you regarding EOS implementation. I assume that you are open to talking to people about you implementing EOS for them. So if anybody wants to reach out to Bill to talk about EOS implementation on, you know, in, say, you know, western part of the country, which it's probably an area that you prefer to, right? The email address would be OSBW, which stands for Operationally Speaking Bill Wagner, at getbusinessmomentum.com, and that email will actually get forwarded automatically to Bill. So with that said, I want to thank you so much, Bill, for being my guest here and putting a lot of great points on this very important key component of any business, the traction component. And thank you, our listeners, for spending this precious hour with us. If you found that you heard on this show helpful, point your business friends and colleagues to Operationally Speaking. And if you listen to us on our webpage at Voice America, don't hesitate to click on the banners to get your free consultation on how to turn your business vision into reality right now. Or send me a request at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. You will be surprised by what's possible, and I promise you'll never regret that call, ever. So see you again next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern or 12 noon Pacific. And until then, make it an operationally sound and happy week. Goodbye.
Thank you for tuning in to Operationally Speaking. Be sure to join your host, Sergio Semel, for another great program 1 week from today. We're live every Friday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel. In the meantime, you can reach Sergio for additional questions at 1-617-731-3132 or by email at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that is os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Enjoy your upcoming weekend, and may you and your business make it a smooth and successful week.